Eco-living may be on the rise, but making the transition to a greener lifestyle can create stress and guilt, making some people give up before they've tried.
It doesn't have to be that way, our next guest says. Having lived through some shame and fear of never feeling green enough, she's gathered some simple strategies to make the process doable and to save some money along the way.
Madeline Somerville is the author of All You Need Is Less, which she calls an eco-friendly guide to guilt-free green living. She blogs at sweetmadeline.ca. Madeline, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
So how did you decide to embark on this journey of doing more with less?
Well, it started about a decade ago. My husband and I moved to British Columbia, Canada, which is sort of known up here as the hippie province. And a few years later, we got a dog. And I remember bringing him home, and he was this chubby little adorable puppy. And he flopped on the floor and started licking our floor, our kitchen floor. And I realized that that was the same floor that I had mopped with this chemical cleaner a few hours earlier. And I started just looking at the products I was using in my home and on my body and realizing that I didn't know a whole lot about the ingredients that were in them or what the effects were. And so from there, I started to do what I think a lot of people do as their first step. And I started buying green cleaners and eco-friendly shampoos and that kind of thing. And it got really expensive because those things tend to be, it seems like they're 2 to 3 times the price of their regular alternatives. And then it kind of got frustrating because I realized that some of the stuff that was being labeled as eco-friendly wasn't. And I had a moment where I was looking at the ingredients on this laundry detergent, and I decided to look them up, and I realized that they were things that were readily accessible to me and that I could actually make it myself. And that by doing that, I knew exactly what was going into it. I knew exactly where it was coming from. It was way less expensive, and I could adjust it if I needed to, if I wanted it to have less fragrance or a different fragrance or, you know, more soap or less soap. And that was kind of like the aha moment for me, was realizing that I could create these things in a really simple way and a less expensive way, and that I didn't have to go and buy them.
Let's set you along the road, and then you hit some other challenges along the way. Tell us how you convinced your husband to start composting.
Well, the town that we lived in was a very small town called Squamish, BC, and it had bears. Like, it was civilized, but bears would regularly stroll through your backyard. So backyard composting wasn't really something that many people did. And so our town had set up a compost center at the same place that you drop off your bottles. And I decided it was time that we started composting. I'm a vegetarian, so we had tons of fruit and veggie scraps, and they were just going in the garbage. And composting is one of the biggest ways that you can reduce the waste that's coming out of your house. So I decided that we were going to do this. And I made that executive decision. And I didn't want fruit flies in this compost bin, so I decided I would start storing them in my freezer. So I started hoarding fruit and vegetable scraps in our freezer, and wasn't maybe always the most prompt about taking them to the depot. And my husband, it was like this routine in my house where I would feel, you know, super good about myself and be patting myself on the back for composting. And meanwhile, I was just storing fruit and veggie scraps in our freezer until my husband would like throw them out in a fit of rage because he could never find anything because we had garbage in our freezer. And so that was sort of like this moment that I think a lot of people run into, where you may be super gung-ho about going green and doing all these eco-friendly things, and your partner or your coworkers or your roommate is just not into it for whatever reason. So we had to troubleshoot that a little bit and tweak the routine, which involved him sort of getting on board with it as long as I was more conscientious about taking stuff in a more prompt manner, so our freezer was actually being used for food rather than compost.
I can just imagine that. What's for dinner? Let's look in the freezer. Oh, my God. And it's just this, like, bag of glop.
Yeah, and it was just, I mean, I can't blame him, but there was definitely some conversations where it was like, why do you hate Mother Nature? Why aren't you helping me? So I think that's something that a lot of people run into. And it's not something I ever saw addressed in the eco-friendly books. Like, it just seemed like everyone had these perfect partners who were like, oh, you want to give up your fridge? Of course, let's go for it. And that was just not what I encountered. And I knew I wasn't the only one. I hope to God I wasn't the only one.
Let's talk about that, because there tends to be sometimes, you know, some guilt that comes along with these lifestyles. And sometimes people are doing it out of guilt, but it seems like a hassle and they feel like they're not doing enough of it, or their neighbor has 4 compost bins plus rain barrels. I mean, how do you just do what you can and be okay with that?
I think it comes from, first of all, just stopping the judging. And that's a huge thing, because I even get criticism anytime I post an article on any website. There's always comments going, you know, oh, but you're using this and that has been linked to the, and it's like, you can never be green enough. And there's always somebody judging you. And we judge ourselves really harshly too. So even me, like I obviously try and live a very green lifestyle, but I'm not a huge cook. And so I often am like beating myself up because I'm not cooking as much and I should be doing things from scratch. The key is to stop. And one of the biggest things that you can do to be eco-friendly is also one of the easiest, and it's just to stop consuming and to really reduce the amount that you're buying and just sort of question everything to the point where, do I really need this? What's going to happen to it when I'm done with it? Sort of slow things down to the point where you can actually look at your life and maybe put a pause button on this whole cycle of consume and throw out and consume and throw out. And once you've sort of hit that pause button, just look around and see what changes you are excited about making. You know, someone might not be super excited to use a clothesline, which I really love, but they might be really excited to make their own food or start tanning. And so that's a really good place to start, is some place that you're excited to take it on. And then just make really small, gradual changes. Like, I think in order for this to be sustainable, it needs to be small and it needs to be gradual. So rather than, you know, somebody reading my book and then tearing through their house, throwing everything out and buying all new, you know, everything else. Like, it just needs to be, you know, when your toothpaste runs out, maybe try the recipe for homemade toothpaste and see if you like it. And if you don't, that's totally fine. You can go back to regular toothpaste, and I list an organization that will recycle the tubes. Or, you know, maybe next time when you run out of window cleaner, you can try this recipe. Like, just do it really gradually and focus on what you are doing rather than sort of comparing yourself and beating yourself up about what you're not doing, because that's a really easy cycle to get into.
Well, I'd love to check out a couple of the recipes you mentioned. Let's, how about that toothpaste? How do we make our own?
Okay, so the toothpaste is one that I found personally, like, a little bit, it took a bit of an adjustment because it's way less sweet than a lot of our toothpaste, which might sound funny, but it's a really basic mix of peppermint oil, baking soda, and water. And you basically just mix it together and you get a fine paste. And baking soda is a really great gentle abrasive. And when I first started using this, as I said, it was a little bit, like, it's a little bit saltier than normal toothpaste. And now I'm at the point where when I use regular toothpaste, it almost tastes like icing sugar or something. It tastes weird to me. But when I started using it, I started wondering if the baking soda was harming the teeth enamel, because it does seem like it's grittier than normal toothpaste. So I did some research, and it actually scores, dentists use this fancy thing called this relative dentin abrasiveness scale. And baking soda clocks in at a 7. It goes from 0 to 200, the scale. And baking soda clocks in at a 7, and then the nearest commercial toothpaste comes in at a 35. Huh. So even though you feel, because it's a manual abrasive rather than a chemical abrasive, you feel it more, but it's way more gentle on your teeth. There's no packaging associated with it aside from the baking soda box.
And it works? You're not getting cavities? Your teeth aren't falling out?
It took me a while to admit to my dentist that I was doing this, because I always, you know, sometimes you just don't want to get into the whole, like, I don't want to preach, and sometimes I just don't want to get into the whole shebang when I'm sitting there with my mouth propped open. But when I finally confessed to my dentist, he's like, I always get comments that my teeth are very strong, like, I don't have, you know, my teeth are nice, I think. And it gives you that kind of shiny, slippery, slick feeling you get from the dentist. Like, it feels amazing. And it's something that's a really easy thing for most people to try. Like, most people have baking soda and water in their house, and peppermint essential oil or peppermint extract is something you can easily find in the baking aisle.
Well,
so it's sort of a low risk thing to try.
Let's look at another one. You mentioned making your own shampoo and conditioner. Those seem like hard things to pull off. Toothpaste, maybe, but, you know, there's so many hair care products out there now that do so much. How does this work, and does it work on your hair?
This is the most bizarre thing I've ever, like, the most strange green thing I've ever tried, and the thing I get the most questions on. And it's also literally almost the easiest recipe in the whole book. To make your own shampoo, what you're basically doing is you're mixing a cup of warm water with a tablespoon of baking soda. So you mix that together until the baking soda is dissolved. Hop in the shower. When you've got wet hair, you pour this mixture over your head and really massage it into your scalp. It's not going to foam because it doesn't have sodium lauryl sulfate, which is one of the more dangerous chemicals that is in a lot of foaming products like toothpastes and shampoos. So it's not going to foam, but you're basically just going to concentrate on your scalp. If you've got oily hair, you want to concentrate along the hairline and along the crown of your head. Once you've sort of rubbed that all in, you just rinse it out. The conditioner is same thing, very simple. It's one cup of warm water with 1 to 2 tablespoons of apple cider vinegar mixed in. And apple cider vinegar has a strong smell, and this recipe isn't in the book, but somebody alerted it to me, and I've tried it, and it works, is that you can also substitute fresh lemon juice, which for people who object to the apple cider vinegar smell, lemon juice is great. So 1 cup of warm water, 1 to 2 tablespoons of either apple cider vinegar or lemon juice, and once your shampoo rinse is out of your hair, you put that in your hair, let it sit for a few minutes, just like regular conditioner, rinse that out. It's the most amazing thing. It doesn't seem like it should work, because I, too, spent years spending ridiculous amounts on these salon shampoos and conditioners, but my hair was always fluffy and light and, like, tangle-free.
And we're going to have to leave it there. We're out of time. Madeline, thank you so much for joining us and sharing these recipes.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me, and try them. They're fantastic.
We've been talking with Madeline Somerville. She's the author of All You Need Is Less.